Hello there, I'm Fern Cotton and this is Happy Place, the podcast where we climb inside the heads of some remarkable people and see what's going on in there. And this week is another of my absolute heroes. Oh, the joys of making my own show. I can be utterly selfish. It's composer and classical musician Ludovico Einaudi.
It's normal to do your things in your own way. There are people that may like it, others they may not. But I don't mind. I mean, there is music that I like, there is music that I don't like to listen to, but I don't. The world is full of colors and you can choose yours.
If you have never heard his music, well, you are in for a treat. He's one of my favourite musicians ever. I totally drift off into another world when I listen to him. I was lucky enough to see him live in London this summer, which was just unbelievable. But some of my favourite songs, if you want to just go and check out some bits of music that will totally move you, I love Campfire from the volume of work Day 3. I also love Ascent from the volume of work Day 7. But I mean, look, the whole album Islands is gorgeous. I could wang on about this forever. His music is definitely going to change your mood. That is a promise.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And now, here's the show. Today is a day of firsts. I'm in Sicily for the first time, which is hot and colourful and vibrant. And I've just been walking around all the back streets and seeing lots of gorgeous food in the markets and people enjoying coffee and pastries and talking loudly and passionately and music playing. It just seems like a very beautiful place. So I'm very happy that that's a first to tick off the list. The other first is that I'm getting to interview someone for this podcast that I've been absolutely desperate to meet for a while now. He's someone I'm borderline obsessed with, the most streamed classical artist in the world, and actually one of the most streamed artists, regardless of what genre he comes from. It's Ludovico Einaudi, who is in Sicily today. So we're going to go and spend some time with him now and have a chat about his amazing work. If you've never heard of his work before, here's a little bit to whet your appetite and get you in the mood. This is Ascent, Day 7. Oh. Ludovico, so lovely to sit with you on this beautifully sunny day outside this stunning venue where yes. You're amidst the rehearsals for a show that you're putting on later in the year.
Yeah, it's an opera, it's called Winter Journey. It's an opera based on a libretto by Colm Toibin, the Irish writer, poet. We are in the middle of rehearsing everything, the stage, the orchestra, the actors, the singers. And we are in Palermo. The theatre is Teatro Massimo. That I just discovered it's the third theatre in Europe. The first one is L'Opéra de Paris in Paris. Second one is Staatsoper in Vienna. And the third opera house of Europe is Teatro Massimo.
Yeah. I mean, it's so stunning. I was lucky enough to watch some of the rehearsals, which were just stunning. I cried. It was beautiful. The music, the staging. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. So thank you for letting me be part of
thank
that
you.
And to see it.
Glad.
Like millions of people around the world, whenever I hear your music, I feel like deeply connected to whatever emotions I'm going through. I will often cry when I hear your compositions. And I think that is quite a rarity in this day and age with music. You know, there are loads of brilliant bands and artists around, but to really feel that deep connection is quite rare. When did you first realise that you had the ability to create something that really resonated with people when they heard it?
The fact is that as at a certain point of my life, I felt that I needed to do something that was resonating with me. It took me quite a while to understand it, because at the beginning I was writing music. It was good music, but there was something that I was missing. And so there was a moment where I really tried to understand how to connect emotionally with what I was doing in a deeper way. I can say that when I started to feel that, I think it was a moment where things also started to change with the people that were listening to my music, and they started to feel their connection with my music, probably in a similar way, but with the different people and different backgrounds. So everyone was connecting with the music in a different way, but deeply. And it's fantastic to know that some of those emotions are coming through my music, and I can share this with the people.
I mean, massively. And I think often we can be quite scared to look at those big emotions. We try and suppress big emotions. You know, we don't want to feel deep sorrow. We don't sometimes even want to feel deep love, because you have to be quite vulnerable to experience that. But you've always felt quite comfortable exploring those emotions, would you say?
At the beginning I was more shy, but then when I understood it was a good way of understand also myself, also to relate with the others, I think I started to open more and more my soul to the what I was doing. And I think music helps me also to stay in the world as I do, to control and to share my feelings more than I do when I'm not doing music. So music is a way that I convey those things.
It's very often the case. You know, I've been lucky enough to interview many musicians over the years, and often they will find it much easier to express themselves in that way rather than to sit down and have a conversation with someone or to tell a loved one something they deeply feel. And even to stand on stage and perform music or sing about something deeply personal is almost easier than sitting down and saying it to someone face to face. It's extraordinary.
Absolutely. I have to say that I'm a bit shy as a person, and probably music, it's a way to say everything I want.
So when you sit down to compose a piece of music, what is it that comes first? Is it an emotion or a story that you want to explore and unpick, a worry, a concern? What's the sort of first moment for you?
As a musician, I have some I trained, so I know technical things, but I don't think about technique when I... And I have to say, sometimes I even don't know what is going to happen, if it's going to happen. Sometimes there are days where I try to do something that I don't like, where I don't feel the emotion comes through the music. But there are moments where things happens, and then maybe I realize after that what I have done has a potential, and I start to listen and re-listen to what I've done again and again, and from there I start to develop one piece of music into something. The other thing is that when I do my projects, I always like to find a connection with a theme that is helps me to find a route for the music, find a plan. It helps me to drive to define a line. For example, when I wrote The Waves, it's called Le Onde. This was inspired by a Virginia Woolf novel. that has the same name. And I was reading the novel to understand how the structure of the book could help me to organize the music. It's a sort of invisible dialogue that I establish sometimes with a book, sometimes with a painting, sometimes with a theme that could be a philosophical theme. And this is like, as I say, a silent connection that I helps me to think and rethink at what I'm doing and organize it with a sort of invisible structure that I give to my music.
I mean, that, to somebody that I can't sing a note, I can't play an instrument, I'm deeply passionate about music, I find it fascinating that you can turn something detached from music into sound. Like, that's a really fascinating process, to know that you can see something, read something, experience it, and then you know inherently how to turn that into music. As an outsider, it looks like you're sort of channeling something. It's coming from a spiritual place. You're sort of channeling some otherworldly magic. Does it feel like that when those songs come? Do they arrive in your life? How do they manifest in your life like that?
Certain things, I really don't know how they come. I mean, music is also made of proportions, numbers. And so there is a moment where all those proportions and numbers, they come together in a way that is perfect. It has a sort of balance. But even for me, sometimes that balance, how I arrive to that balance, it's a bit mysterious. And this is, in a way, frustrating, because you would like to be there all the time that you do something. But at the same time, it's fascinating that you have to work around an idea, and then suddenly there is a moment where everything comes together. Then you lose again this mysterious fluid. That means also that is not something automatic. It's something that you have to work around. You have to flirt with it, and then there's a moment where you embrace it and everything.
It must feel like you're playing a wonderful game of Jeopardy, because you don't know when that moment of alchemy is going to arrive, or if it's going to arrive. And I guess that's the risk taking that you have with composing any piece of music, is when or if that moment's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But I have to tell you that when I feel it's happening, it's a beautiful
and
you feel part of it. You feel that what you're doing is giving to you an emotion that I love to hear. And also, it's a moment where this emotion will be there. Other people could live the same emotion and could enjoy. You could share this with all the people that would listen to this.
Would you say there are certain emotions that are easier to work with? You know, is it easier to write a piece of very sort of moving, sorrowful music, or is it actually easier to channel something quite joyful and buoyant?
Of course, I think it's difficult anyway. I think any emotion, to write a sad piece of music, it may be easy, but it could be, I mean, if you don't get the right way to do it, it could be also very normal. I mean, so I think for every emotion, there should be a specific angle that is to make it a unique piece of music with a unique emotion. And then to tell something in a way that no one else has said it before in the same way. So it's not easy. It's you have to look at it and understand how you can tell this in a specific manner that is yours.
And how does it help you in your life? Would you say that it does actually help you explore your own feelings around situations in life, things that you've found tricky over the years, or moments where you've experienced big emotions? Does playing that music or writing about it help you understand your life a little bit more, or how you've reacted to life?
It helps to express in a very... It's not that you write a piece of music that is specifically connected to one thing that has happened to you. I think the combination of your experiences is behind you, is inside you, and while you are living and you are working and you are making music, you capture some bits of that and you convey it into your music every time in a slightly different way. And the amount of experiences, it's there in the music with different nuances and colors and emotions. And maybe one time there's a happier feeling, and another time there is a sadness that comes. It's a sphere that combine all your experiences, I think.
And would you say that gives you an element of release? Say, like, you're on stage and you're performing it to a huge room of people, and you are, you know, playing around certain emotions. Is that a cathartic process for you?
This is strange. Sometimes there is music that you compose and then you play it for a while, and the music is telling you and taking certain emotions through the audience, and you feel very connected to it. Maybe after you play it for a while, maybe you lose the affection, and you start to perform other music that maybe you're writing in another moment. Then sometimes maybe you come back to certain music that you have composed 5-10 years ago, and you rediscover a way to say it again, maybe playing, performing it in a different way. Sometimes there is also the risk that the audience, they find a connection with the music that for you is not anymore important. So sometimes there's a desire that you cannot fulfill because, for example, I don't like to play something that is not really connected to my feeling of the moment. My repertoire is following who I am in that moment of
my
life.
That's interesting. So you can work out your set list via how you feel that day, a bespoke set list for your mood. Yeah. I love that.
Absolutely.
And when these melodies arrive in your life, do you have to be in a certain mindset? Do you have to be in a certain place? I've spoken to friends who are singer-songwriters, and one particular one I can recall having a conversation with, and he likes to stay up really late at night, and he said he likes to sort of catch songs where no one else is around. Everyone else is asleep, and he has that clarity and headspace where he can kind of like cast his net out and catch songs and melodies that haven't been written before. Do you have a sort of the right scenario that helps you do that?
Home is one of the scenarios, but I like to have people that are not maybe immediately around me, but I like to feel someone in the house, and I like to feel that someone, even if it's not active listening, is potentially listening to what I'm doing. It's a connection, it's a dialogue. I mean, it could be part of your family. Sometimes there is a lady that comes to clean the house, and she's very happy when I'm there.
I bet she is.
And I'm playing, and she says, it's so beautiful when I come here to clean the house and you are here performing.
I bet.
So
it's a free gig every time you clean someone's house. Ideal.
Of course, the people that your family is, you're more connected with them. And of course, it's nice that they can share that creative moment, even if they are doing different things. Maybe one is in another room and another one is doing something else in a different place of the house. But the music is not only for me alone situation. Other times I have to say that when I'm touring, that is also an important part of my life because I tour quite a lot. I like to do sound checks in the theaters where I have concerts, and this is another moment in the afternoon where I take some creative time. So maybe I play for an hour, I can be by myself or with other musicians that are performing with me, and I tend to improvise ideas and record them. So these moments from home and these moments from the sound checks, they become the future repertoire.
Wow.
In 1-2 years time. Because
so cool.
I record everything and I listen to everything, and then after a while I understand what I have done, and listening to the ideas, and I give them an order, and I understand what is what I keep and what I don't keep.
Do you have
quality sleep is essential? That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Moments of frustration, you know, I really like painting in my free time, and sometimes it just flows and I'm really happy with the end result or the halfway through result. Other times, an hour in, I want to punch that canvas to bits. I'm like so angry that I can't achieve what mentally I've envisaged, and the thing that I know makes me feel good when there's a good outcome. Do you have those moments where you hit a dead end and you just scrap a song and you can't deal with it ever again?
Well, of course, they're part of the process of listening, and so when I'm trying to figure out what is going to be my new project, or when I have to compose something, that there is part of the work I'm doing that I throw away, and part of the work that stay, and I fall in love with it. It's not a stable line, ups and down, and the down can be very frustrating also.
Yeah. And then when you're on stage and you're touring relentlessly and you're playing this incredibly profound and moving music to people, are you aware when you're on stage of how you're almost sort of controlling the emotions in that room? Because you are manipulating the atmosphere, the mood, and how people are thinking. Does it feel like that when you're up there?
When I'm on stage, I really try to find my best balance with what I'm doing, to find the control, to control my emotions, to achieve that state of mind that would be ideal for a certain way to perform the music. And so sometimes I think I lose that bit. I can understand after that I've done something,
yeah,
that I made something special for those people. But when I leave it, maybe for doing it the way I want it, I have to think and control what I'm doing in a very concentrated way,
yeah,
that I dive into the music. Probably this diving needs a lot of energy and concentration. So it's like trying to arrive to a state of meditation where I can really create something that is special for me, which is not very easy. Sometimes when you're traveling, you are distracted by many things, and maybe you are tired, and maybe to find that concentration is something that you have to work around it to achieve it. And I have to say, it happens sometimes, but it's not always there. But then, even if it hasn't happened for you, I'm glad to hear that people, they enjoy to listen to the concert. And sometimes I'm surprised to hear, because for me, maybe it was not as special as I wanted.
I don't think anyone's going to complain after seeing you live.
But, you know, probably I pretend a lot. I like precision in what I do. To get the best from my performances, for the sound, for the experience. And so when you are looking for this perfection, it's not something that you get every moment of your life.
Absolutely. When you're in that state then, and you do have that desired situation where it's meditative and you are playing and it feels that special, is there a lack of thought? Is it more feeling than you thinking, this is the song that's next, this is what I need to do next?
Yeah, it's more a feeling. There are moments where you lose yourself into the music completely.
Wow.
It's maybe difficult to say that you get lost for the whole concert, for 2 hours. There are moments where you have to understand where you are. And
Have you got certain techniques that you will use to sort of get that focus back? Because I think anybody that has any sort of job or hobby that requires an element of focus, precision, and dedication, if you find your mind wandering, and I'll get this at work all the time if I'm doing a live broadcast or something, where your mind starts to get distracted, have you got techniques where you can get it back focused and where you want it to be?
I think there is a moment where you finish one phrase of music, you start to open your eyes again, and you wake up for a moment, and then you start again, and then hopefully you get into another state of mind that is flying somewhere.
And it seems to everybody, with your insane amount of work that you've produced in the last year, that there is, I don't know, perhaps a restlessness, would you say, about how you feel with creating music? You have to constantly keep creating, or are you actually so at peace that the music is just flowing?
I think when I finish a project, I'm very happy, and when I release it. But then it's like I need to restart again. I just don't like to stay without doing things, because I think it's a state of mind, the one that you're searching again for something that you want to say, that you want to dive again into your soul and find something different. And this is a sort of maybe desire of being there, connected with your emotions all the time.
And is there ever a point where that is tiring? You know, you're about to release your 7th volume of work in 1 year, which is an excessive, incredible amount of work, all at the highest standard. Does that leave you feeling drained or depleted, or are you energized from
Well, I have to say, before coming here, I did a tour in America for 20 days, and I had 7 days a week where I knew that I had to record the 7th album of the project, 7 days Walking. And when I came back from America, I said, okay, now I have to do this. Maybe it was a bad idea not having it done before. But then I went to the mountains and I started to play the music, to record it. I was alone in that moment in a very beautiful wooden house in the Alps. With a small, I recorded this 7th album with an upright piano and with a very beautiful voice, because I recorded the others with a fantastic piano, grand piano, perfect sounding. And this was like going back to all the ideas with your notebook and writing the music with a pencil and thinking about, rethinking about all the works, all the experience that I've done before with the other 6 albums in a different way, in a solitary way. And I recorded for 3-4 days, and I started to listen, and there were some noises in the piano. Pedals were with imperfection, but those imperfections gave to the music a different perspective also. Mm. And sometimes the wooden room was making some noises. So I started to listen. I found the experience of listening to it very inspiring and emotional in a different way. And so I was very happy at the end to have done it like that. And now I finish it. The 7th album will be different from all the others, but in a very interesting way, I think.
Wow. And with such a relentless schedule of, you know, finishing off that seventh volume of work and then coming straight into rehearsals here, then you're off on tour again. Do you need to carve out moments where you can just, you know, replenish and feel rejuvenated and rested? And if so, how do you achieve that?
After this intense period, I will have some time off in August. I will be in the mountain where I was recording the seventh album. There's an air that is refreshing my soul, the oxygen there. Everything is very nice for my rejuvenating my body and my soul. We stay there for a while. I will maybe spend some time in the countryside where I have a house, and then September is more calm. Then I come here for the premiere of the opera, and then I will start again in October the tour. I will come back to the UK, to Germany, and other places until Christmas.
Wow!
I have to say I feel very happy now. Even if it has been a very tough and tight schedule, all the experiences, also different experiences together, made this voyage very interesting for me. And it's like more refreshing than just doing the same thing
that monotony,
all the time.
Yeah.
Monotony, yeah.
And do you have ways day to day that you like to try and keep balanced amongst an incredibly hectic schedule? Are there ways that you like to stay grounded and to feel okay amongst all of the workload?
Well, I take some time for doing some physical activity. Almost every day I do some Pilates.
Nice.
And this helps me because I feel my body more strong, and also Pilates, you are connecting everything with the breath. So it's exercise, but it's also control, coordination.
How long have you been practicing for? Is it something that's more recent, or have you been doing it a long time?
I've been doing it for maybe 7-8 years now.
Yeah.
More recently, I do it constantly, and I achieve that fanatic level where I try to do it almost every day.
You're all or nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And does that help? Because I imagine with all musicians and performers that work to big crowds, when you come off stage, that you do feel in a slightly heightened state. It's not your normal kind of regular state of being when you've been exposed to that amount of people and you're performing and giving everything your heart and soul. So have you got ways that you can get grounded and get back to just feeling in your body and balanced from being out there in front of all of those people?
When you have performed, you have been already giving a lot. And so after the concert, I like to stay with few people and not being in a chaotic situation where everyone is talking, something quiet.
I get that. I never understand when people do a big show and they go out partying after. I'm like, how are you doing this? Surely you're exhausted. I can't even go out without having done a concert first. I find the whole thing totally overwhelming, so I totally get why you would just need that boundary I need to be on my own. It's so important. The classical world has kind of seen you as a bit of a renegade and a maverick because you very much do things your own way. Have you always felt the need to have a sort of rebellion or a sense of pushing boundaries in life and in your working capacity?
When I was a teenager, I was more like a rebellion guy. So I think the rebellion was mainly against a situation where I was getting bored. So when I was, when I didn't feel it was right for me, I just didn't felt it was good to leave that situation. And this was happened also with music. So there were certain moments where I realized that I was doing something that was not really my cup of tea. So I said, well, I started to make music because I wanted to create something with music, because music was giving me certain things that were special for me, and I don't want to make it become a normal place. I just making music for me is to continue to stay in an exciting part of my life. When I started to realize that and to do it, I think it's normal that when you start to do your things in your own way, there are people that may like it, others they may not.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I mean, there is music that I like, there is music that I don't like to listen to, but I don't... I think the world is full of colors and you can choose yours.
Too right. And it's bizarre that there are still rules afoot in the music world.
Yeah.
It feels like there should just be none.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
as
absolutely.
You say, you yeah. choose what you like and yeah. then what you don't like. It doesn't matter so yeah. much. How much confidence do you think that's taken for you to follow that path? Because I think we'll all try in life to do things we know feel good and we know that feel right to us, but we're so swayed by outside opinion, socially what's acceptable,
yeah,
culturally
yeah.
what we're indoctrinated to believe. So how have you linked into that confidence to ignore the other voices?
Yeah, there was a moment where I started to realize that I was not in the right place, and this gave me a sort of strange feeling of not being... connected to my soul, and this is not the place where I felt right. Then I had friends and people of my family. They started to help me to find my way. In a way, they were saying that they were liking my more personal side. So I started to work on it, and the more I found the focus, I found the following that direction was defining a territory that was more mine, mine territory, my route. I felt more confident, and when I found it, I didn't leave it anymore. So and this probably was a moment where I left all the rest aside.
It's interesting because when you do that, you do have to negate people's negative opinions or if people don't agree with what you're doing. And I
yeah.
think a lot of people find that really tricky. I certainly do. Even if I know that what I'm doing is right, it's still a very tricky thing to be able to, you know,
yeah.
become deaf to those voices. Have you found
sometimes,
that easy?
Yeah, sometimes it's strange because this can happen also with friendships.
Absolutely.
Sometimes... some friendships they tend to grab you somewhere where you don't want to stay, and so with certain friendship you have to be able to and to find the strength to cut certain relationships if you want to be free to go in the direction you want. Sometimes
yeah.
Some friendships may be negative for what your life is going to be, for what are your visions, your desires. Sometimes there is could be envy or jealousy, and so it's part of life. I think it's not easy, but you have to find the strength to see between the clouds where the light is for you.
That's a lovely way of thinking
yeah.
about it. It's I guess sort of listening to your intuition, isn't it? You know, locking into that gut feeling of this is right or this doesn't feel right to me, and have the integrity to really stick to that.
Yeah.
And I guess so much of your work is about that, because you're dealing with emotion and you're dealing with people's feelings, and you have to go with what you feel is right, not what anybody else is telling
yeah.
you. So
absolutely.
It's so important. I guess one of the things I'm very interested in with your latest project,
yeah.
with it being, if I'm correct, inspired by a walk that you took in the mountains, is that for the whole body of work, all
well,
seven volumes?
Yeah, it's not exactly, is as you said, correct, but to be more precise, the idea of the walk is like a metaphor to describe the process
okay.
of the musical creative process. When you are doing a walk, you have a route. Maybe it could be like a circular route. You start from a place, you go there. Maybe, I don't know if you are, let's say, we are in the mountain, you arrive You start from the woods, then you arrive to a little lake, then there's a little route that is passing through a river, then you come back, there's another wood, and then you come back through the mountain, and after maybe 2 hours, or depends how the route is, you are back home. I wanted to make a piece of music that was like a circle of music, like there is a sort of continuation, a continuity in the music, like a walk. And when I was thinking of that, I was actually in the mountain, I said, well, what I would like to do is similar to a walk, because I start from here, and then the music develops in a certain way. I arrive to a place, a musical place, where that is like, let's say, like a wood or in a lake. And if you do the same walk in different moments, in different days, every time every day you are different, because you are thinking something different, and also the weather around you is different, and maybe one day you take your walk more calm, another day your walk is faster, and maybe one day you linger to see something that you find a deer or another bird that you suddenly hear in the wood, and you stop and listen to it, and then you continue. So there are variations even in the same walk that you can do it in different days of the same route. There are variations, and this was a bit what I wanted to create with the music, because basically it was the same route of music, the same melodies, but the way I was performing the melodies every day was with a different vibe. Every day was with a variation that maybe was more substantial one day, another day was maybe one part of the walk was similar to the day before, but maybe the last part of the walk was with the rain, and so I had to walk faster. And so I started to record different versions and of this music, and I said to myself, well, maybe instead of releasing one version, it would be nice to have the people experience what I'm experiencing now, because I'm playing this music in different ways, in different days, in different moments. Every day that I play this music, there's something substantially interesting to listen to. And so this is the seventh days, musical days that I created. The same 7 days walking represent these possible experiences of living the same route in different moments.
It's such a wonderful notion, because I think we all get trapped in monotony at some point in our lives, and we'll think, I've got to do this again, or I've got to go and do that again, or every day does feel very similar. And I think actually you can open your eyes to so much variation if you're willing to see a different day or a different experience in that way, and to explore different perceptions of things as well. It's a really lovely notion, I think, for people to mull over whilst they're listening to it.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to you on day 3 when you were performing Campfire was a good day, because that for me is the one that it gets me every time. Like, tears of joy. It's amazing. Ludovico, thank you so much for your time.
I know that you
have the most insanely busy schedule, and
thank
it's
you.
Been a real
it's
honor
been a
to
pleasure
spend time.
To talk with you, and thank you for this conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ludovico. That was a privilege to meet you, sir. And also, a little behind-the-scenes goss. He took me for lunch before we recorded that to an amazing restaurant in Sicily. I mean, for me, it was the ultimate dream day. Find his music on all the usual streaming apps. I listen to Apple Music. To find out who's on the show next week, find us on Instagram at Happy Place Official. Get it first thing on Monday when you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your smart home device. Thanks again to Ludovico, to the producers Matt Hill and Lucy Dearlove at Rethink Audio, and to you gorgeous lot for listening. I really appreciate it. I'll see you next Monday.
mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.